From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26 and 16:14, the Lord Jesus explains to his disciple that the chief function of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. In the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns referred to Peter's testimony that the Spirit of Christ moved upon the prophets as they penned the Old Testament scriptures, demonstrating that Christ is the key to the Old Testament, just as he is to the New Testament. In John 16, verses 8 through 11, the Lord Jesus declared the Spirit's work in convicting the ungodly of their sin. His work in believers is to show them Christ and what they have in him. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, he takes a brief moment to speak to those who are concerned about old age, a subject with which he deals more fully in his booklet, A New Beginning.
People joke about growing old. I think we all like to both look for and receive funny birthday cards, especially as a few years begin to accumulate. But despite all the laughter, deep down, people really don't like growing old, and they don't think it's funny. Old age reminds us all that we have only a little time here. You talk to a man, as I have done, who's 100 years old, and he speaks of things almost a century ago as if they were yesterday. His life has sped past. It all seems so little, and indeed it is so little. From the vantage point of a child, 10 years seems an eternity. But from the vantage point of eternity, 70 years, or even a century here, and few of us will ever live that long, seems like nothing. And indeed, it is nothing. So old age reminds us that we all have a very little and a very limited time here. And then there is eternity. I remember visiting a 16-year-old boy in the hospital. He was unsaved, and he had no desire to listen to the gospel. I gave him a gospel of John and presented him with the truth of Christ and pleaded with him to be saved. He was very smiling and happy and very, very courteous to me. He had been in the children's meetings that I had helped to run and one of our churches outside Belfast in Northern Ireland. He listened, but he wasn't really interested. What he told me was this: I'll soon be out of hospital. He was about to have a procedure that was actually very common, but he said, I'll soon be out of hospital, and then I'll be able to do all the things that up until now I have not been able to do. And he told me all these things that he wanted to do, but being saved was not one of them. I visited him again, and he had even less interest. I left the hospital, and within a matter of days, that young man was in eternity. And I remember a question that a colleague of mine in the ministry put. Actually, he was the minister of the church that this young man attended. And this was the question. He said, just think, 16 years in time, and then all of God's eternity. And I say he put it as a question because the idea was, where? 16 years and then where for all of God's eternity? Now, I don't know whether you're old or whether you're young, but so often old people and young people neglect to look after the matters of eternity. The Lord promises us eternal life to all who come to him. And when we come to him, he promises us, even to your old age, even to hoar hairs, I am he. I will never forsake you, no matter who else may neglect or forsake you in your old age. I'll sustain you, I'll support you. But the greatest joy in your old age will be knowing not just the presence of the Lord here, though that is an immeasurable benefit, but knowing that soon I am going to be with Christ. Some of the saddest experiences in my life as a gospel preacher have been dealing with old people going out into eternity, and they had no thought of God, and they had no knowledge of Christ, and they had no hope for eternity. And they really didn't care. I think of an old man I visited when I was visiting my dad in his last illness. And I talked to this old soldier, and yet he went out into eternity without being willing even to consider where he was going to be. Some apostate minister had told him, "Ah, you're a good man and you'll be all right." He didn't need Christ. Men and women, I am saying to you today, old or young, it's time to be saved. Because after this life, no matter how long you live, it's just going to be such a short and limited and little affair. You have an endless eternity. The question is, eternity, where?
When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The Holy Spirit gave the various books of the Bible, he had many what theologians would call proximate purposes or immediate aims. There was an immediate aim in everything that the Lord said through Moses to Israel. There was an immediate aim in everything that he said through Jeremiah or through Daniel or Ezekiel or any of the other Old Testament writers. But permeating everything that he said, the Holy Spirit, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. You take, for example, the Old Testament. Christ is the key to the Old Testament. Now, you may study the language of the Old Testament. And if you have the brains to become a master of the language of the Old Testament, God bless you. I trust that you will go and study it and use your linguistic skill. But never imagine that you know the Old Testament because you have learned Hebrew. Dare I say it? Why we are certain that it was the Hebrew original that came from the mouth of God and is the very breath of God. Why we are certain that every translation must go back to that Hebrew and be absolutely faithful to it, or at least as faithful as any translation can possibly be from one language to another. And while I would not undervalue the language, yet let us learn this, that the Scripture message transcends technicalities. And you only understand the Old Testament when you can use all your technical skill to see Christ in the Old Testament. You know, it grieves me when I read some of the great and most skillful linguists that the world has ever produced. I read what they have to say about the Old Testament, and they're as dry as dust. Man, they have great tomes. And they go into all the linguistic detail. And at the end of it all, you've got to shrug your shoulders and say, so what? For they never see Christ. Now that's not true of every linguist. I have others just as great in scholarship, but with their scholarship there is a great spirituality. There is a heart for Christ. One does not necessarily preclude the other. But it's Christ is the key to the Old Testament scriptures. He said it. He himself said it. He said in Luke 24 and 27 that he expounded to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures. Now just a wee word in passing here. There's an awful lot of Christians who don't obey the Lord there. There's an awful lot of Christians want to come to church and be spoon-fed on a Sunday morning and take enough that will give them spiritual indigestion, and they never bother their head searching the scriptures for the rest of the week. The Lord Jesus says, search the scriptures. Not just read the scriptures. Not just satisfy your conscience by glancing through a verse or two of the scriptures, but search the scriptures. Get into the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. He is the key to scripture. The apostle Peter said to him, give all the prophets witness. Now that's a statement of inspiration. I want to tell you that it is one of the most blessed studies in the Bible to go through the prophetic writings. And in the deepest sense, everything from Moses to Malachi is prophetic. But you can go through it all and see Christ there. To him give all the prophets witness. Let me give you an example. You take Old Testament history. What about Genesis chapter 1? It's the history of creation. We read, God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said. That's history. What's the meaning of the history? John chapter 1 will tell you that that creative word of God is none other than Jesus Christ. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You go on down through Genesis 1, you'll find that you not only have a history of creation, but you have a history prefigured of the new creation. I'm not going to start preaching in that one this morning, or we'd be here until tomorrow morning. But you'll find Christ in the history there. What about Exodus? The journey of the children of Israel, first by their deliverance out of Egypt, and then over the Red Sea, and then on through the wilderness, and ultimately into the promised land. What are we to make of that history? Oh, it is a history of what actually happened to the children of Israel. But my friend, if you don't see Christ in that history, you're blind. Christ is the Lamb slain. Christ's blood is the blood of which God the Father says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was Christ who led them on. Paul says the rock that followed them, the rock out of which they got the water, the rock that sustained them, the rock that sheltered them, that rock was Christ. Oh, you go through Old Testament history and you'll find that it speaks of Christ. The same is true of its prophecy, of its typology, of the whole economy of the Old Testament. It speaks of Christ. Now, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In all that he wrote, he was exalting Jesus Christ. He did the same in the New Testament. I could leave this out, you know, because I've done enough to prove my point from the Old Testament. But not for all the tea in China would I leave it out this morning. You see, there are some what Lester Roloff would have called smart alecks. And they get a little bit of education and they know more than God Almighty.
There are some of them running around. And they are forever going through these Gospels, especially the first three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. And they're trying to prove that there's a lot of mythology in there. And John's Gospel, all the statements that Jesus makes, for the most part anyway, they are purely mythological. And then all that Paul has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Pharisee who came along and he lifted the humble man of Galilee and he made him a god. He clothed this ordinary man, a good man, and he made him a god. And he developed around him a whole corpus of doctrine. And so, this school, it's the school of a man called Bultmann, sets out to demythologize the New Testament. And they want to get back to the historical Jesus. Always prick up your ears when a preacher starts talking about discovering the historical Jesus. You're listening, in most cases, to a rank apostate, a child of the devil, and a denier of the Word of God. What is the historical Jesus? It's the Jesus of that Bible. That's the historical Jesus. How do I know that? The Lord Jesus says that the Holy Spirit would lead His disciples not into mythology, not to a perusal of some documents that some fool-headed theologians imagine must have existed somewhere. No, sir. He would lead them into all the truth. In other words, everything that our New Testament teaches us is truth, and everything that it teaches us about Jesus Christ is the truth. Let me tell you, my friend, all that the New Testament is doing is revealing Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Christ, the key to Scripture. The Holy Spirit has another work, the work of conviction in a sinner. What does He do there? How does the Holy Spirit convict a sinner? Ultimately, He only convicts a sinner by revealing Christ to that sinner. Did you ever notice that? We have read today in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now, by the way, always quote that text correctly. Do not mix it up with Paul's sermon to Felix. He does not come to convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. Of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. How does He do that? Have a look at it. He convicts of sin. Why? Because they believe not in Me. Now, that's not to say that unbelief is the only sin of which the Holy Spirit will convict a sinner. That's not what it's saying. But He is saying the Holy Spirit will convict and convince men of sin. Whom does the Holy Spirit convict of sin? Over whom does the Holy Spirit suspend the wrath of God for sin? Against whose sin does the Holy Spirit witness the sin of unbelievers? The truth of this text is that the Holy Spirit comes to a man and He makes him feel his sin. But He witnesses to that man that Christ is the only atonement. And if you were a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit has no condemnation of your sin. What a truth that is. The Holy Spirit does not condemn a believer. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, who is he that condemneth? God justifies, Christ has died, Christ has risen. There's no condemnation to a believer. The Holy Spirit is not convincing or convicting in this basic sense of bringing sin up against a man to condemn him. He's not doing that for any believer, because He says Christ is the only atonement. He convinces him of righteousness. Why? Because I go unto my Father. He's saying, look, Christ is the only acceptance. The only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of Christ. He convinces him of judgment. And he points him back to Calvary. And he shows him the broken head of serpent. And he says, Christ is the only conqueror. And he is the judge. He who judged Satan will judge all Satan's seed. And he who broke Satan will break all Satan's seed. He is the conqueror. Whatever the Holy Spirit has to say to men ultimately brings them back to Christ. It's the same in salvation. How does he save a man? He points him to Christ. When he brings a man under conviction, he points him to Christ as the way out of conviction, the way out of bondage into liberty. When the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way, pondering the scriptures, wondering about the truth, wondering how he could come to the knowledge of the great things of which the prophet was writing. What was the Holy Spirit's ministry? He took a preacher and he sent him down and he preached unto him Jesus.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.